Hey folks, this is your man in Amsterdam, Bram Sarkowski. Get ready for the Social Spitball Show on blogtalkradio.com with your co-host Barbara D, right after a word from our kind sponsors. Do you appreciate listening to the Social Spitball Show? Well, your man in Amsterdam, your host, Bram Sarkowski, and co-host Barbara D, appreciate the indispensable support of Barry Sensa of Facebook, Robin Conrad of the Democratic 2014 and 2016 Change Campaign of Facebook, and Crystal Stevens, the Liberal Kitty. You can find all three, and us, and get to know your candidates and guests. Learn about current issues, and listen to exciting podcasts, all in one place. KnowYourCandidates.weebly.com. That's KnowYourCandidates.weebly.com. WEEBLY.com. Visit the link. Enjoy the content. Oh, and while you're there, show some love. Donate under contact. Thanks for listening.
This is Bram Sarkowski of the Social Spitball Show. Barbara D and I want you to run for office. We want you to win. That's why we encourage you to contact Bold Blue Media today. Call 888-978-1448, email info@boldbluemedia.com, or visit boldbluemedia.com on the web. Thanks for listening. Hey folks, it's your man in Amsterdam, Bram Sarkowski here. Barbara D and I are so honored and excited to call Janice Covington Allison an official friend of the Social Spitball Show with her appearance on Sunday, April 12th, 2015. Janice is a veteran of this great nation, a democratic and equality activist who most recently blazed a trail for fellow members of the transgender community by running for chairwoman of the North Carolina Democratic Party. Janice is a wonderful woman with a loving heart for all. As allies, we can stand up for transgender rights, but there's no way we can know what it's like to be a member of the trans or transgender community. We at the Social Spitball Show are happy to share a phone number and website connected to those who do know what it's like, members of the transgender community themselves. The Trans Lifeline is a free hotline for transgender people experiencing a crisis. This includes people who may be struggling with their gender identity and are not sure if they are transgender. This next part may seem counterintuitive, but to me it's actually very perfect and very true. The Trans Lifeline urges, if you are not sure if you should call or not, then please call us. In the United States, call 877-565-8860. That's 877-565-8860. In Canada, you can call 877-330-6366. That's 877-330-6366. You can also find them on the web at www.translifeline.org. All lives matter. You are not alone. Trans Lifeline is there for you. Please call. Thanks for listening.
What do you get when you subscribe to Bold Blue Magazine? How about one convenient place to keep up with state and local Democratic politics, and a place to get a local take on national issues. Plus, interesting and thought-provoking entertainment from around the world. But that's not all. When you subscribe to Bold Blue Magazine, you're helping to elect state and local Democratic candidates. And you're helping to advance state and local progressive causes. And that helps make a difference in the lives of real people in our communities. Because every dollar of your subscription allows us at Bold Blue Media to keep costs for candidate training and services ridiculously low. So that every Democrat who wants to run for office and make a difference can. Choose your subscription level and let's get to work building something great together. Subscribe today.
Subscribe today. Visit boldbluemedia.com/subscribe or call 888-978-1448. Thanks for listening. Let people vote. It's a simple yet powerful concept and sentiment that people have fought and died for. It's a sentiment shared by the civic organizations such as the League of Women Voters, the ACLU, the Southern Poverty Law Center, and the NAACP. Hey folks, this is your man in Amsterdam, Bram Sarkowski. Let People Vote brought Barbara D. and I together on December 1st, 2013 to challenge the actions of a Tea Party member of our local Board of Elections. That partnership formed was PETV, P people for the ethical treatment of voters. As PetV, we're fighting for your voting rights, not just our own. If you believe like we do that all should have an equal voice in the democratic process, then show it. Visit our online store on Facebook by visiting facebook.com, PETVORG. That's facebook.com, Papa Echo Tango Victor, Oscar Romeo Golf. Then click on the products tab to purchase your buttons and stickers. Let your voice be heard. Show the world you agree to let people vote. Thanks for listening.
Social Spitball Show with your host Bram Sarkowski. This is your forum to discuss politics, religion, democracy, and sometimes even music, sports, and culture. Please join Bram and your co-host Barbara D. Let's get the conversation going.
Good evening. This is your man in Amsterdam, Bram Sarkowski, coming at you again as a recording. Tonight you will hear the final public hearing on voter ID rules to be implemented in 2016. This one was recorded in Tarboro on Monday, June 15th. And these hearings were coordinated by the North Carolina Board of Elections across the state to receive public input regarding the rules they will have to implement next year as directed by the Voter Information Verification Act, or VIVA. The deadline to submit written input is tomorrow, so we encourage you to send your email, your written statements in email form to rules@ncsbe.gov. That's rules@ncsbe.gov, or rules at NC as in North Carolina, SBE as in State Board of Elections, .gov. Again, tonight you will hear the Tarboro hearing recorded on Monday, June 15th. Thanks for listening.
It's just about 5 o'clock, so everybody can make their seats. We'll get started here in just a minute here. Good evening. It is 5 p.m. on Monday, June 15th, 2015. My name is George McHugh. I am an attorney with the North Carolina State Board of Elections in Raleigh. And in attendance along with me, two staff from the State Board of Elections is also here. To my left, your right, is Jennifer Faulkner, with the voter outreach team at the State Board of Elections. On the other side is Joshua Lawson, an attorney and the public information officer for the State Board of Elections. I would also like to extend a special thank you to Edgecombe County and Edgecombe County Board of Elections for hosting the event today. I don't know if folks saw in the back, we have some materials. And the local elections director, Jerry Spruill, even provided some cold bottled water for you all tonight. So that is compliments of the County Board of Elections and a very nice thing, an added bonus that they're doing here tonight. So thank you very much. Jerry's in the back there, handsome gentleman in the yellow shirt and tie. Also, just a couple housekeeping items for folks to note. So this is the auditorium on one end of the building. I understand that some folks were getting routed to the other end of the building, ourselves included. That entrance, the front entrance, is going to be, I believe, locked after 5 p.m., so people will not be able to come in there. We have some signs for people to come around the back, but in case you came in through the hallways, we have an entrance right out straight the back here, and parking as well. But if you parked on the other side, you should be fine. and bathrooms and I'm sorry.
You know where they are?
Yes. Okay. Yes. I'm good on bathrooms. Okay. Bathrooms and water fountains are just outside this exit right here to my right, your left, and some vending machines out there too. But of course we got the exits straight out the back. Now we're done with housekeepings, onto the subject of tonight's hearing. Subject of this hearing is 5 administrative rules proposed by the North Carolina State Board of Elections. Copies of those rules are available at the front table as you walk in. You're welcome to grab a copy, and we have a sign-in sheet as well if you are interested in speaking. The hearing tonight is conducted by the State Board of Elections, which is a nonpartisan, independent state agency that engaged in this rulemaking as required by Session Law 2013-381, also known as House Bill 589. I should note that this is one of 9 public comment hearings that we are conducting across the state. In fact, this is the last public comment hearing that we'll be doing. So thank you very much for attending our last stop on the tour across the state. We appreciate the comments we've received and look forward to receiving those tonight. The law itself, House Bill 589, places new photo identification requirements for in-person voting beginning in the year 2016. The next thing I'll note is very important. Please do note that the purpose of the hearing tonight is to hear public comment on the proposed rules that you have before you, not for comment on the laws that made the rulemaking necessary. Please do understand that the State Board of Elections is an administrative agency. The General Assembly makes the laws, and the job of the State Board of Elections is to implement the laws, and then, in this case, engage in rulemaking that the General Assembly has determined is necessary to implement the laws. The State Board of Elections does not have authority to change laws and can only work within the rulemaking authority granted to it by the General Assembly. For example, the law in House Bill 589 specifically defines the types of ID that are considered an acceptable ID. So an example of something that the State Board of Elections would not have control over would be to expand that list of what is an acceptable ID through rulemaking. Before I move on any further, I do always like to remind folks too that if you do have cell phones, if we could turn those to vibrate or silent or off, that will help us get through our hearings, get through the comments we receive from you all. The purpose of the hearing tonight is to receive public comment from interested parties. It is not a question and answer session. That being said, ourselves and the voter outreach team, which is represented through Ms. Faulkner, is available to provide the materials, and hopefully people saw those. We've got a table of materials in the back corner there. They can provide materials and information about obtaining a photo ID at no cost through the Division of Motor Vehicles if a person does not have an acceptable photo ID, or if they have any other questions or would like to talk to the voter outreach team about attending any meetings or groups that you think that may be helpful. That's certainly part of what our voter outreach team does. We have staff that want to come out and help people get a free ID to vote and help understand what the requirements will be in 2016. We will have some time, both the voter outreach team and all of us will certainly be available after we receive public comments and have gone off the record. If folks do have any specific questions about the law, we will be available, and please, you're welcome to come speak to us at the front at that time. Again, we cannot answer questions of the hearing that will be conducted on the record. That the purpose here is to receive comment from you all, but we can answer questions afterwards. It is important that this hearing is conducted in an orderly and respectful fashion, so we have a clear record of the comments that are presented here. All comments that are received at the public comment hearings, along with written comments received at our office by June 30th, which is not Friday. Tuesday, June 30th. Thank you, Josh. will be considered by the State Board of Elections before it moves forward with the rulemaking process. Written comments can be emailed to an email address we have up on the slide here, rules@ncsbe.gov. They can also be mailed to our office, and our mailing address is available on the letterhead of the document and that the rules are on. Or if you'd like to write out any comments here, we do have comment cards as well. Again, folks who wish to speak and provide verbal comments on the rules that are the subject matter of tonight's hearing are asked to sign up on the speakers list at the back of the room. We've got the first page of speakers list, but you can certainly continue to sign up. And if folks have come in after 5 o'clock, you're certainly welcome to still sign up. The speakers list will simply ask for your name, contact information, and if you are representing any group or other person with your comments. When your name is called, please step up to the podium and you may provide your comments. We will be instituting a time limit to make sure we get through everybody's comments. Based on the number of persons we have signed up so far, we'd like to set up a what I'd consider a soft time limit of 3 minutes. At some of the other hearings, we've had a two and a half minute time limit. For most folks, they are easily able to provide those comments within 2.5 minutes. And what we're also doing is if a person goes right up to their time limit, once we've allowed everybody to speak, we'd be happy to provide you some additional time if you didn't get through all of your comments during those 3 minutes. So based on how the other hearings have gone, I'm very confident everybody should be able to provide the comments that they want to during the time we have tonight. We do have a system to help alert folks about the time limits. We have two flags. A yellow flag will be raised by Ms. Faulkner when there are 30 seconds left, and a red flag will be after we've reached 3 minutes. So if you could finish your thought there, we're not going to completely cut you off at 3 minutes, but we'll just let you know that that your time is up. And if you could finish your thought, if you'd like to talk some more, we should be able to provide you some more opportunity at the end. Although interested persons who attend this hearing are welcome to be heard, it's not necessary for comments to be re-delivered in spoken form if they've already been submitted in written form. Conversely, if you have provided your comments in written form, your comments are going to be transcribed. We have a court reporter here, so there will be a transcript of the hearing tonight, and so it will not be necessary to put your comments in written form if you deliver them in person tonight. If you'd like to provide any additional comments beyond your allotted time, or would prefer to provide written comments, we do have some sheets of paper where you could write out your comments as well. But you certainly don't need to do that if you provide it in verbally. So moving on to the actual rules themselves, here are the proposed rules that are the subject of the hearing tonight. Again, copies of the rules are available at the back if you do need that still. The rules are 08 North Carolina Administrative Code 17.0101, Determination of Reasonable Resemblance at Check-In. Next, 17.0102, Determination of Reasonable Resemblance by Judges of Election. 17.0103, Identification Required of Curbside Voters. Next, 17.0104, Opportunity to Update Name or Address After Reasonable Resemblance is Determined. And 17.0105, Declaration of Religious Objection to Photograph. Before we call the first speaker, please do note that this is a public hearing being recorded and transcribed. When you are called forward to speak, please step up to the microphone and state your full name, and again, any groups you're representing. Please speak clearly into the microphone to allow your comments to be properly transcribed. And if you do happen to have a name that may be helpful to be spelled to be spelled. I'm sure the court reporter would appreciate if you do spell out your name before starting your comments. During your allotted time, you may speak about comments pertaining to any of the five proposed rules. Again, please do remember that this hearing is not the proper forum to make comments about the laws passed by the General Assembly, positive or negative. We thank you very much. With that, I'm going to we'll start the public comment portion of this hearing. I'm going to put this microphone up on the podium, and I have a lapel mic. We are getting a little bit of feedback there, so I will just turn that on when we're between speakers. So if there is a little hiss there, we apologize. Hopefully that won't be too distracting here, but I'll leave that off most of the time. Well, I'm setting up the mic. I'll note our first speaker is Melanie J. Goff Bradley. And one last note while Ms. Goff Bradley is coming to the front. If folks could please remember that this is a public comment hearing and refrain from any speaking or applause. This is simply a public comment hearing, and we'd appreciate just getting the comments on the record. Thank you very much. Thank you, ma'am.
My name is Melanie Goff Bradley, and I live in Edgecombe County. I want to thank the staff and the State Board of Elections for holding this public hearing in the heart of Central Down East. I deplore the monster voter suppression law, but I realize that as staff you didn't pass this law but must implement it. Thank you very much for proposing such reasonable regulations, and I urge you to make sure they are not corrupted to limit our right to vote. For example, when I got married over 17 years ago, I counted on the DMV to update my name, but it didn't happen. It was only last year, after a personal trip to my local board, that my name has been entered correctly. I'm sure many other women, people with two names, and Hispanic citizens have also had this tribulation. Thank you for writing proposed rules to address these errors of human data entry. I urge you to maintain the recognition of name variants, appearance changes, expanded forms of ID for curbside voters, and additionally to allow sworn statements with final digits of a Social Security number from voters without an ID. I want to emphasize that our right to vote is granted in the body of the U.S. Constitution. The body of that document came first, before the amendments, before the Bill of Rights. Let me mention two amendments that we as citizens hold dear to our hearts and defend against all assaults of restriction. The First Amendment protects our freedom of religion, as well as freedom of speech and of the press. Our Second Amendment grants the right to keep and bear arms. If we do not brook unwarranted restraint on these amended rights, how much less can we accept negation of our citizenship affirmed in the body of the Constitution? Finally, I must mention my distress that this law violates the North Carolina Constitution in imposing a poll tax by requiring our citizens to procure birth certificates, other documentation, and transportation to obtain an updated ID from a severely limited list of options. The poll tax was eliminated after the Civil War, and literacy tests were eliminated by the Civil Rights Act. Reconstitution of this barrier here in the South would be a shameful legacy. If we intend to revive the practice of turning registered voters away from the polls, I charge you to document each occasion with the name of the evaluating judge. Thank you.
There's that feedback I was talking about. Thank you very much, Ms. Goff Bradley. For folks, I know we have a few folks coming in. We do have a few seats up in the front, so we certainly want you to be able to get a seat. Our next speaker is Daniel Irvin.
Thank you. Thank you for coming out here to Eastern North Carolina. My name is Daniel Irvin. I'm a student at UNC Chapel Hill, and I'm with Democracy North Carolina right now. So what I wanted to talk about was the first rule with the reasonable resemblance. And one of my concerns with just ID rule in general is how poll workers and judges will treat young people like myself. And I'm worried about that because we're an age group whose physical appearance changes very rapidly in the span of a single ID cycle. So, for example, my driver's license was issued in 2012, and it won't expire till 2020. So I will be in my mid to late 20s, and the picture I'll be compared against will be a faded picture from when I'm 17 or 18. And that's a time period where people change a lot, not just in their hair color or weight, but in their totality, really. And so I currently don't look that different from my license picture, but I've seen a lot of some of my friends' driver's license that they got when they were 16. And now, just 5 years later at 21, they look totally different. And those IDs aren't expired, and that's what they're going to have to use to vote with. And this makes sense because they took these pictures when they were kids, basically. And so I know the draft rules currently state that the differences between the voter and the person in the picture due to aging can't be used as a disqualifying factor. And I think it's a good rule. And I just want to emphasize that aging is especially pertinent to young people. And poll workers and precinct judges should be particularly trained to look out for young people to make sure they're not going to disqualify anyone just because the ID they receive as a young person looks very different from how they look now. And I also just wanted to add on, and like you guys said at the beginning, this really isn't up to the Board of Elections, but I think we need to figure out a way to make sure that out-of-state students are able to vote, because right now, this really, unless they have a passport or they're in the work, parents are in the military, they're really not going to have any ID to vote in their home counties, or in their college counties, you know, where the local officials are that make very relevant decisions to their lives. And so I know you guys can't change which particular IDs are acceptable, but we do, I think, need to really figure out how to not disenfranchise, you know, thousands of out-of-state students who really need to have a voice in their local elections around here. Thank you for giving this time to speak tonight.
Thank you, Mr. Irwin. Our third speaker is Tamika Wright. Okay. Thank you, Director Spruill. Yeah, whenever you're ready, Ms. Wright. Thank you for your patience there.
Sorry. My name is Tamika Wright. I'm here as an advocate for Democracy North Carolina, and I'm from Nash County. I applaud you guys for coming here, hearing our concerns, and I recognize that you can't change anything, but I'm glad you're here to hear us out. I disagree with the voter ID law and the new restrictions on voting because I am a student at UNC Charlotte, and as a college student, it depends upon our right to vote. I, along with the majority of other students enrolled in colleges and universities in North Carolina, should be able to use our student ID while residing in our college city because it's readily accessible and issued to everyone attending the school. A good amount of students going to these colleges do not have cars because parking is limited and, as a result, not cheap. Therefore, there are a lot of students that do not have a driver's license with them while on campus. Additionally, my out-of-state college friends that attend and reside in North Carolina universities should be able to vote in this state, too, because they view it as their community while they are here. It's not beneficial to the students to surrender their home state's ID in order to vote in North Carolina while attending our universities, because in doing so, they would have to change the insurance on their car when they return to their home state. Having to do this repeatedly every summer until they graduate is tedious and puts a financial strain on the students. Therefore, our student IDs should be enough to fulfill the voter identification requirement. I know you can't change what IDs are accepted, but I just want to make sure this was on the record. Thank you.
Thank you for the more sense of now. Thank you, Ms. Wright. Our next speaker is Shanika Kent. Did I get it right?
Shanika.
Oh, Shanika.
It's okay.
All right, thank you. I apologize.
No problem. Well, good evening. My name is Shanika Kent. I am a resident of Nash County here in North Carolina, and I am also an organizer with Democracy North Carolina. I want to thank you for adding the Tarboro hearing here tonight in your statewide schedule. I would like to ask that in the future, all of our state's agencies always consider hosting a hearing here in North Carolina, in the Northeast, in their initial schedules, because, of course, here in the Northeast, we have an opinion that we'd like to voice as well. Though I am opposed to the overall voter ID law, I do want to thank the State Board of Election staff on the proposed rules for implementation. Being that I, like so many others, have aging family members who are unable to stand for long periods of time and do not have unexpired IDs, they're being able to show a range of IDs, such as a utility bill, is a positive step in the right direction. For example, I have an aunt who suffered a stroke a few years ago, and she is unable to drive, and she cannot stand for long periods of time. So given that showing IDs at the polls will increase the amount of time that it takes to vote in 2016, she doesn't always carry a driver's license anymore. So curbside voting is surely more convenient for her. So being able to show her utility bill as a form of ID is a great thing for her. Also, I do hope that our poll workers and our precinct judges will adhere to the proposed rule that states that changes in the voters' physical appearance should be expected and taken into account. However, we need to ensure that we have a proper documenting system for those who will be rejected at the polls. We want to ensure that we do not have any bias in our polling place, and we want to make sure that North Carolina elections are fair and give access to all voters who are eligible to vote. We want to make sure that we are documenting those voters who will be rejected, and we want to document those judges who are rejecting them, and we want to do that in a comprehensive way. So I just want to put that on record, and thank you for your time.
Thank you, Ms. Kent. Our next speaker is Pat Adams.
Good evening. Thank you very much for coming to Tarboro. I realize this was the last stop on your visit and that it also had to be added. So again, I would echo that anytime there is a hearing, that Tarboro in this section of Eastern North Carolina be given an opportunity to be heard. I represent the League of Women Voters. I am a Nash County resident. I am Pat Adams. I live in Nash County. I represent the League of Women Voters of North Carolina, and our mission is to make democracy work by educating voters and helping to let people know about their voter rights. I am concerned about the timing. This law was passed about 2 years ago, and yet the rules did not get promulgated until just recently. And then the timing of the hearings. Again, this is the last hearing, and I'm very much concerned about citizenry input being given thorough consideration. I hope it's not too late for a thoughtful consideration of our input. And this will also lead to some issues regarding training of poll workers and the timing that it will take to get that training done. The lack of definition of reasonable resemblance is also of concern. The rules contain what isn't considered, but not what is considered reasonable. This opens the door for a lot of poll worker interpretation. Unconscious bias can creep in, and that is unintended. This will create, I'm afraid, a lot of inconsistent application of this rule among staff. There's also the opportunity to update name and address after reasonable resemblance is established. Since address really is not supposed to be considered, I'm afraid that if an address does not match, that a poll worker may interpret this as a requirement to actually update the address. This may specifically affect college students whose address will reflect where their parents live, but they may actually be legally registered to vote in the area where they attend college. I also would like to share a personal experience of my own with a photo ID that is considered an acceptable form of photo ID. This doesn't look like me anymore. This is 90 pounds heavier than I currently am. Add to this the possibility of data entry. We're all human, and there can be data entry issues. I had that experience with another government agency. They listed my name rather than as Patricia, as Patrick. They also got my name, my address wrong. Rather than my address for my corporation is Atlantic Beach, but they put Atlantic, North Carolina. This could cause massive confusion. Thank you very much for coming.
Yep. Thank you for the comments. I might just go without mics for remainder. And if folks could just be sure to speak directly into the microphone, we want to make sure that the audience, folks in the back can hear it as well. The next speaker is Kemp Phillips. Thank you, Mr. Phillips.
Thank you. My name is Kemp Phillips. I'm a resident of Rocky Mountain, Nash County side. First, I too would like to thank you for being here, but I also would like to thank you for giving me a moment to kind of say my piece or whatever, but I'll keep it short. And second, in my opinion, as some others have already expressed, the rules and regulations as proposed to me seem very reasonable. I have no real problem with the way they're proposed. I do have a problem with one that I have heard of people trying to get a change made on the ruling where all three judges would have to totally agree that the representation on a photo ID was unacceptable. And some have even proposed reducing it to two or just one. Such a proposal is nothing less than total absurdity and even brings into question the honor and personal integrity of anyone who would make such a proposal. All three judges agreeing on a photo ID is not representative of the individual, the probability is 99.99% into affinity that they are correct, that no change is needed. Please let the current proposed rule of all three judges stand. Doing less compromises our precious right to vote and makes it easy for a judge to display petty politics and bias in their decisions. And furthermore, we the people of North Carolina deserve far better than that. Again, thank you.
Thank you, sir. Our seventh speaker is Mary Ward. Thank you, Ms. Ward.
Good afternoon. I'm not going to say thank you for coming. I think you've heard that a lot. I'm here to speak against the need for having to prove what I look like, in essence. And I want to take you back to a time in history where my ancestors had to do that. They had to stand in a line and be inspected based on their appearance. This law is painful for me, and I know I'm not here to talk about the law, but implementing the law cannot be separated from the rules to implement the law cannot be separated from the law. Let me explain to you what happened recently with Bruce Jenner. If you have the right amount of money, you can change your entire appearance. Color, hair, you know, you name it. So to say that my photo ID has to resemble what I look like now is ludicrous to me. And it's kind of insulting because we live in an age where cosmetic surgery can change a lot of things. Then I want to remind you of my cousin, whose half of his face was blown off in Iraq. Now, his driver's license was current, didn't have to be changed when it was time to vote. But to just subject him to going through that pain of verifying what he looks like compared to that, you know, we shouldn't have to do that as taxpayers and citizens of North Carolina and the United States of America. And my last point is that there are diseases that change the structure of people. I don't know the name of it, but all of us are subjected to a genetic disease that takes away our skin color. You know, and just takes it, you know, I go from being chocolate brown to being just not even a color like you, just white. Okay? If I have that disease and I go to vote, I'm going to look starkly different. And then there are illnesses, you know, radiation and chemotherapy that causes me to lose my hair, my eyebrows, you know, and people of color turn even darker. So, you know, the fact that this is a rule to be considered, in my opinion, is something that just needs to be taken out. But if it can't be taken out, at least leave it so that not one person alone can make that very insulting decision. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much, Ms. Ward. Our eighth speaker is David Jones. Thank you, Mr. Jones.
Good evening. My name is David Jones. I'm from Greene County. I represent Greene County Grassroots. I do thank the staff of the State Board of Elections for developing these rules and for conducting hearings to allow public comment. Overall, the rules appear to work to the advantage of a person presenting photo ID because it specifically directs officials to view all evidence in a manner most favorable to the person presenting. However, keep in mind, this brings in subjectivity and the individual who is at the table. I have concerns that including the limited number of acceptable IDs, and especially excluding college IDs, as well as IDs issued by government agencies that provide assistance, such as social services offices. I also have a concern regarding expiration dates on IDs. I haven't a clue as to why, if my picture looks like me, there is some concern about the date that that ID expires. That's very confusing to me, and I just don't see any reason for that. I'm also concerned about provisional balloting. When a person is rejected, I believe there's going to be lots of confusion because there's more than photo ID. There are other reasons that a person can be asked to vote provisional ballot, including voting out of precinct. So I believe that's going to cause a lot of confusion. I also feel strongly that it should be made perfectly clear and emphasize that there is not any case where one person alone makes a decision that a photo ID is not acceptable. I do hope that the training includes strong emphasis that in all cases, three judges must unanimously decide. I also want to point out that it does not appear that persons presenting have any means for voicing their complaints The rules do not provide any means for them. Finally, I want to keep in mind that the Voter Information Verification Act is a very complex law. And to focus on one provision alone is very misleading because it is all the provisions acting in concert with each other that make it a voter suppression law. Thank you.
Thank you for the comments, sir. Next speaker is Michael Schachter. I apologize if I did not get that right. All right, very good. Thank you, sir.
I'm Michael Schachter. That's S-C-H-A-C-H-T-E-R. And I'm from Craven County, North Carolina. I'm concerned about the current voter law. Having worked in the polls in past elections, I saw the previous laws were working very well. And as they say, it's not broke, don't break it. Unfortunately, the new law puts an added burden on registered voters, especially the young, the elderly, and minorities, and also on county election officials and staff. My concern is about registered voters who are being unduly burdened by the new law in several ways. The main problem would be if a registered voter's ID is rejected for any reason, or if the registered voter had not brought one of the approved IDs with him or her when they came to the polls. The best solution to this problem, which is most efficient and least unduly burdensome to both the registered voters and election officials, would be to have this voter sign under penalty of law that he or she is the registered voters that he or she claims to be. Then the voter should be given an official ballot and would vote in a normal manner. This is certainly the most efficient and less burdensome, more efficient and less burdensome than providing the registered voters with a provisional ballot and asking them to return on another day or maybe at another location, you know, with a form of ID which might be acceptable. You know, this not only burdens the voter, but also the election officials who must once again decide the appropriateness of the voter ID. Allowing voter registered voters to sign that statement on a penalty of law would also eliminate some of the concerns that different election officials will have different interpretations of appropriate IDs. The duly registered voters would be allowed to cast an official ballot, whatever that interpretation might be. My other concern is that poll workers that this new law will create a longer lines, which will also burden the voters and discourage some of the voters from remaining at the polls for long hours. While the ability to sign a statement of ID and then to vote would help, there still need to be an increase in staffing of election voters and more training of these voters to alleviate confusion generated by this new law. Thank you, and the board and the State Board of Election for holding these hearings.
Thank you, sir, and thank you very much for your service as an election official. Next speaker is Felicia R. Hinton.
Greetings. I am Arthur Felicia Hinton, charity, educational charity. I am speaking today on behalf of Concern in many forms. I want to be brief. I'm also a proposed nominee for the assistant precinct judge in our county. Additionally, the rules, the changes that were made, I am in support of them. And the reason being, at the poll sites as a poll registrant and having to go through all the procedures, and that is in matching the system with the ID in general and the persons. On several occasions in the previous years, I commend them. And I think that as a collective body, of individuals, we should examine the whole factors, just not one side of the factor. When you don't know the rules, that's going to be a factor. It states the election official that requires photo identification if a person has a sincerely held religious objection to being photographed and meets the requirements, then that is allowed. In other words, the ID factor, I don't think that comes into play. Additionally, there were so many factors that came up. I worked at the Rocky Mount Braswell location with registering, and there are circumstances, but basically when you match the system with the person, the data occasionally, you know, it does have some discrepancies, and that's a good point. But one thing that we as a collective body of people need to keep in mind, whenever our elected officials bring rules to us, it is not that they're just not aware of the total factors. It takes surveys and it takes tallies and, you know, speaking with different individuals and being there on the site with those experiences. And when you come out so negative and you don't actively participate, I've been there since 2010, 11, 12, 14, 15. I personally myself see it as a burden on our elected officials who have to deal with so much when we hear the negativity as such, and they are not participants on a regular basis from individuals that bash. Whenever you're organizing anything, it takes a lot of time, skill, and effort. And I want to make that statement clear to people, because until you do it, you don't know what goes on until you actually participate. And once you participate, then you will see that it's not an easy task. Thank you.
Thank you, ma'am. Ms. Hinton, would you like some additional time, or was that the completion of your comments?
I asked you with my conditional.
Okay. What I'll do is I'll offer that once we've gone through, provide everybody the opportunity, but we should have time to provide you some additional time at the end.
Okay.
So thank you. I'll have that noted on our sheet. Our 11th speaker is Althea T. Hopkins.
Good evening.
Good evening.
My name is Althea Hopkins. I'm a resident of Halifax County, the adjoining county to Edgecombe County. Basically, my stance on these ID laws is that I'm against some of them, and some of them I think I am for. I'm actually for some of them. The ones that I'm against, I think they're designed to keep people from voting or being disenfranchised. One concern that I had against the law is the issue of rejecting an ID, allowing a voter to cast a provisional ballot, and then having the voter to present a valid ID within a few days so that their provisional ballot may count. What constitutes a few days? The word few can mean various things to various people. In my opinion, I think the word few should be changed or replaced to a specific number of days so that we're all on the same page. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Our 12th speaker is Ophelia Gould-Faison. Thank you, ma'am.
Good evening to those of you who represent the North Carolina State Board of Election and to all others who are present today. My name is Ophelia Gould-Faison, and I'm a resident of Littleton, which is located in Halifax County. First, let me say that I am not for the photo ID, which is to be implemented in 2016. The residents in our rural county seek several housing situations during the year, and most of the time their current address would not match, their current address on their ID does not match the voter registration address. And I think when people hear that, they think that their present address has to be on their ID. Allowing voters without ID to sign a sworn statement and cast a provisional ballot is acceptable. Allowing voters without ID to sign a sworn statement and cast a provisional ballot is acceptable. However, for someone in our rural area to present a photo ID before the canvass will be very challenging and not realistic. Transportation in Halifax County is non-existent except personal cars. We don't have a systematic bus transportation authority, nor taxis. And from my home in Littleton to our county seat in Halifax to get information, birth certificate, is approximately a little more than 50 plus miles round trip. Intensive training is also needed inside poll workers who represent the local board of election. It's very, very necessary. It should be comprehensive. And training, intensive training, is a must. In 2012, a young lady registered to vote online. And when she went to her polling site, initially she was not allowed to vote, not even a provisional ballot. She felt demeaned. The attitude of the judges there upset her, so she called me in tears because of being rejected. It was like pulling hen's teeth with her polling workers and the Board of Election to verify that, and the Board of Election finally verified that she was registered to vote. Inside poll workers should have a willing attitude to verify the voter is registered if it means calling the local Board of Election. Provisions be made for voters who have applied for a photo ID driver's license. I think that when we get our driver's license now, that we don't get the photos, we get a card, and sometimes the mail, the postal service, is delivered. The information is delivered to the wrong box, it gets lost. And so I'm asking that their expired license be used as a form of ID until the one comes from the state driver's license motor vehicles.
Thank you, ma'am. Can we offer you some additional time? We should have plenty of time to. Thank you. I'll have that noted. Our 13th speaker is James C. Smith. Thank you, sir.
Thank you for giving me this opportunity. My name is James Smith. I'm the first vice chair of the Beaufort County Democratic Party. Many of our members are exactly the low-income and elderly persons which this law was intended to disenfranchise. As you are probably aware, last year there were only 31 cases documented of voter fraud across the entire United States. If this law is going to stand in court, it is extremely important that these regulations that you're writing to interpret the law be interpreted liberally, because if there are substantially more than 31 persons disqualified under the new law, it will give us plenty of ammunition to get this law overturned in court. Thank you very much.
Thank you for the comments, Mr. Smith. I'm going to now be moving on to our second page of speakers. We should have another page back there if any persons do wish to sign up as a speaker. Speaker number 14, Barbara D'Antonio.
Thank you, ma'am. There they're smiling because they recognize me. My name is Barbara D'Antonio, and I'm a resident of Wayne County now. I'm co-founder of PETV, People for the Ethical Treatment of Voters. We do voter education and voter registration. That's a key focus of our organization. We're also advocates of Democracy NC. I was approached recently by a member of our transgender population who expressed concern about voter identification. I hope that you have covered all those items in your paperwork and your diligent work. This person expressed concern about the change of facial identity on driver's licenses and other photo identification to be used in the upcoming elections, and I too have a concern about that. My concern is the bias of judges. I am afraid that judges will just go along to get along, and I've seen it, and sometimes people just don't want to step up and say, hey, we need to go ahead and let this person vote. The other two people say no, and one person says, oh, well, maybe they should, and then they change their mind to the no also because they don't want to go against the grain. And I think that's important because I know people don't always like to speak up. And I'm afraid that it may cause people to be denied the right to vote. I have seen prejudice working at the polls. I've never been a poll worker per se, but I've been very active in inside as an observer as well as outside as an electioneer. I strongly suggest more and vigorous training. I think that's the key to a lot of these problems. My problem with the training that they get is, from what I understand, 2 hours, and there's no testing. Now, how many of us would have graduated from high school if we hadn't had a test? I just think that's important, and it gives accountability. I know that it's hard to get people to do this job. My grandmother did it for years, so I grew up knowing what it was about in New Jersey. And but you've got to get people somehow that are interested and that don't mind taking a test, because it's really unfair to the voters to just have people go in there and be there all day, and it's a long day, and then get their old check and go home and not really care about who has the right to vote. Another concern I had that I hadn't heard anyone bring up was about obtaining a voter ID, and we've done a lot of work on that in several counties. 42% of North Carolinians were not born here. Therefore, this idea that you can go to the county and you can get your information is incorrect. It blocks out 42% of the population. And I did a little math. Just in general, there's supposed to be about 300,000 people that don't have a voter ID, proper one, at this point. That's 126,000 people that weren't born in this state, so we're really not being fair in how they do that. I don't know what you can do about it, but we do need to bring that to the attention of someone. And I did get that information from the John Locke Foundation. So, and last line, and that's it. Okay. I realized that you didn't make the law. I strongly disapprove of the law, but I do appreciate your work in asking for information and concerns of the voters.
Okay.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you very much, ma'am. Our 15th speaker is Jacqueline King. Watch the cord there. Yeah, very good. Thank you.
Good evening. My name is Jacqueline Henson King, and my concern is recognizing name variations, because my name is Jacqueline. It's spelled like Jacqueline Kennedy Onassis, but on my driver's license, which came from my birth certificate, it's spelled J-A-C-K-L-Y-N, and it's Jacqueline. And I want to make sure that if I take my photo ID in, there wouldn't be a problem, but that's near and dear to me, because all of my life, I've had to show a different variation of my name. When I went to school, my mom had my name amended to spell Jacqueline the correct way, but because of my birth certificate, and that's the original where they got it from, where people go by, I always have to use a different, put the other name out there. So I just want to make sure that this would not be a problem, people such as name variations. I'm a child from the 60s, and we know that people named Carolyn Their name is Caroline, and it just goes on and on, the name variations. And I strongly suggest that that the new law recognizes name variations and the different spellings of names, whether it be Catherine with a C or K or just different name variations, and not just knock it out because it doesn't exactly match. I want to make sure that, like it's previously stated, that the judges must agree that the name is what they say it is and close enough, because we have a different way of spelling a lot of names today. So with the younger folks, it will really be a challenge, but this is just something that's close and new to me. And I recommend that we look at name variation spellings. Thank you.
Thank you very much, ma'am. Our next speaker is Mary Ellen Jasper. I'm sorry, I might not have gotten that last name. Is there a Mary Ellen? Starts with a J. Going once, going twice. If there is anybody with the first name Mary Ellen and they do wish to speak, please do let us know. We'll make sure to get you in here. I'll mark that one off as not speaking for now, though. The next name on the list is Marquise Thompson.
It's
Marquez
Thompson.
Marquez. Thank apologies, sir.
I say all the time, Marquez, not a cuss. Like, see you guys. Anyway, as many other people say, I want to thank you guys for coming. Until many are scheduled to be here, many people have spoken very eloquently today. I would do less so. I'm going to speak very simply. I want to say my support for two of the rules that you guys are proposing, the first one being to make allowances for physical changes, the second one being to make allowances for changes in the address on the photo ID. The first one is obvious. For me, a few years ago, there was less of me than what is before you now as far as physically. My hope is that with some hard work and changes that perhaps in my habits, that there will be less of me by the time we get a chance to vote. And so there will be many Americans and many, of course, North Carolinians will be making the same kind of changes in their physical appearance. Also, stresses may cause hair differences. And so we really appreciate it if you would make that rule something that you can continue to consider. Also, with the address changes, I would like to say that I'm the oldest of about which one of us should move in with our parents or perhaps have them move in with us but for health reasons. And of course, you know, we don't know when this decision will come about, when it will be, who's going to be the person to have to move. And I feel that probably all over the state, these same discussions are being had. And so I would hate for someone's right to vote to be affected by health concerns and moving one person to another. And so we know that with voter participation being what it is, that we want to do everything we can to support people who make an effort to vote in our state. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you, sir. Our next speaker is Ellis M. Culliver. That was the last one on the sheet. Okay.
Good afternoon. I'm Ellis Martin Culliver. I live at 10606 U.S. Highway 258, North Tarboro, North Carolina. I have a photo ID. I think that took about 15 seconds to say that. I'm in favor of photo ID. Number one is that I was chief judge at the last general election. There was numerous occasions there that I felt like I could challenge, but I had no legal means to challenge because the photo ID. I heard a lot of rhetoric today concerning age, appearances, and all this thing. This law was passed by our General Assembly two years ago. We've got approximately a year and a half to go. I believe everybody has an opportunity to be able to get a photo ID during this period of time. I cannot go to the local Piggy Wiggly and write a check without a photo ID before they have to look at it. I can't pick up prescription medication without a photo ID. is I have numerous other items that I, and areas that I have to go to that I have to show an ID to get in. So I consider this whole ruse that we're having tonight against what was given by the General Assembly of North Carolina to our representatives is to no avail. That all of us have some type of photo ID. Our senior citizens that you're talking about, I am a senior citizen. I am a person of age. But I do go down and get a driver's license. I do have photo ID, and I'm capable to be able to do it, and I believe that people can be able to attain such if they want to. And it's located approximately 500 feet outside this door with our DMV where you can get one. And I believe the law says if you do not have a photo ID, that your one will be issued to you at no cost under the law. And I think that we should continue. I was a resident of Commonwealth of Virginia before I came down here. We had ID, voter ID, that we had to present before we could vote. I saw no problems there. I see no problems here. It's that we want to take one small item where we have to show our identification. As I said before, I was chief judge at the election, general election last time. Numerous times I thought I could challenge. No way legally I could do it. But under this new concept, we will have that capability to do that. I thank you very much for your attention. Thank you.
Thank you, sir, and thank you for your service as an election official. I'm now moving on to our third page of speakers, and again, we will continue to check to see if anyone speak on the supplemental pages. But this will be our 18th speaker, Nelson Lee Kent Jr. Kent? Thank you, sir.
Good evening. My name is Nelson Kent, and I'm a resident of Nash County. I would like to give input on the proposed rules for the implementation of the voter ID law. First, I would like to thank the State Board of Election staff for proposing pretty reasonable rules thus far. I am named after my father. He's a senior. I'm a junior. Throughout my life, his name and identity has been confused with mine. When I go to the polls, I often have emphasized that I'm a junior, and I'm the Nelson Kent that resides in Nash County. When I go to vote in 2016 and come across a poll worker and or precinct judge that does not believe I am Nelson Kent or sees that my address on my driver's license is different from Van Nelson Kent Sr., I want to be sure that I will be allowed to vote and will count. I ask that we maintain the rule of the driver's license address not needing to match the voter's address and voter's logs. I also believe it's important to establish a reporting system of those voters whose IDs are rejected, including the information of the judge or judges that reject their ID. We all are human beings, and none of us are perfect. However, we have to be sure we are holding one another accountable. If there happens to be a poll worker or judge that are biased towards voters, North Carolinians need to be sure that this is being documented and action is taken to correct that bias. Let's make sure all eligible North Carolinians are able to vote and have their vote counted. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, Mr. Kent. Our 19th speaker is Mary Ward. Oh, I'm sorry, Ms. Ward. So you wanted some additional time?
Uh-huh.
Oh, sure.
She was the first one anyway.
Yeah, so that should be fine. So we'll just go ahead and consider this moving into our supplemental time. You can stay. We'll provide all additional persons an additional 3 minutes for anyone who wants to speak additionally. So thank you very much.
Thank you. My name is Mary Ward. I'm a resident of Nash County, and I stand on behalf of Nash County Democratic Women. And I would like to address the fact that, first of all, I want to let you know that this has been really helpful and not a ruse. I want to go on record for saying that. I think that as an American, it's important for people to be able to express their individual feelings about the certain subject. I stand to clarify some things. Our organization, Nash County Democratic Women, work in a lot of capacity: voter education, voter registration, volunteering at early voting, volunteering at public places. I'm also a poll protection watcher with Democracy NC. So we get a chance to talk to people who go in. I can tell you that while we do appreciate all the hard work of the judges and the people that are being paid to help make sure our process works smoothly, you would not be here if there were not a need to make things simple for the voters. And that's the whole idea, that we take this law and we make sure that we make us. My mother, who is gone, voted every year for 95 years. Well, the last time she got her driver's license was when she was maybe like 85 or something like that. There are a lot of senior citizens that may not have a current voter ID. So for someone to say that anyone can get one, that is not necessarily true. In Rocky Mount, our DMV is not right around the corner. It is 5-10 miles away, depending on what side of the city that you live on. You know, so you can't walk there. You know what I'm saying? So you do need transportation, and that is an issue for some of our senior citizens. So much consideration, simplicity, so that we can exercise the right to vote in the United States of America, and that it not be a painful experience, but a joyful one.
Thank you very much, Ms. Ward. Again, we're now providing some additional time to some speakers. Who used their original 3 minutes. The next speaker is Felicia R. Hinton. Thank you, Ms. Hinton.
Thank you. Additionally, in bringing these matters to you, I appreciate, as I did say, and forgive me, my voice seems to be failing me today. I just want to reiterate, I am in support of the identification for in-person voting. And my reasoning being, again, once I said having worked the polls at the poll site, once you enter and pre-registering voters, once you enter the data, and I want to make that clear to the public because it needs to be made clear to them. A lot of things that you can't visualize because you can't actually see keying in the data and how it matches in the system. And as he did say, and I'm so glad he brought that point out to the public, you have to have a photo ID whenever you have a check. And a lot of people, if you are, you have an elderly relative, you can make provisions for that person that wants to vote. Whenever we want to make provisions for whatever we want to do, we make provisions for whatever's necessary. I've seen times that people can roll down in a wheelchair to go to a ball game, and I know that these people can plan ahead of time with a photo ID, and I just want us to get in support whenever we're asked to do something and not to always see the latter. I do see both sides. I do know about the struggles of the 60s. I do know about the super states, and they're originally from this area, but they're in school. But once again, it still goes back to pre-planning and if it's something that you really want to do. And I feel that both sides do need to be brought out because we did encounter various situations with the pre-registering. But I, and we put it to the system, it kind of clarified things, and people do need to know that. Because sometimes when you don't know the both sides of the story, you know, we tend to weigh, you know, in opinions. But that's fine. I'm still going to stand by the photo ID, and I do thank you for this time to be able to present it to the public because they do need to hear both sides of it and the reason and why it came about. And again, once I said, as having worked at the polls, and I think some of those individuals who might have their feelings about it, register to work at the polls, and you can see the both sides. And I thank you.
Thank you very much. Second speaker, so just check, make sure. Okay. This may be our last speaker of the evening with some additional time. Ms. Gould Faison? Did I get it right that time?
Yes.
Okay, good. Thank you, ma'am.
Thank you. I'm just going to pick up from there.
Oh, sure, please. Thank you.
I was talking about the provisions made for voters who've applied for a photo ID and have not gotten it
by the time they actually go to the poll in person to vote. I was hoping that maybe what they receive from the DMV saying it's on the way can be used along with their expired ID. I think I was saying there are situations where mail is lost, placed in the wrong post office box, and because we live in a rural area, most of the residents have roadside boxes to get their mail, and they are vandalized. If a photo ID is in question of being the person, I don't think one, two, or three judges should ask any poll. I think the judges should ask any poll worker if they can verify that that person in question is the person in the photo ID, because sometimes judges are not familiar with the citizens in the community. And so I just don't think it should be just left to the two of you to say if I'm who I am. They may know me, and they can say, yes, that's a vehicle facing. Thank you for considering all of our concerns as it relates to the photo ID, which would make it possible for those who want to cast their vote, make it possible for them to cast their vote. Thank you.
I believe that should conclude our speakers, so I will go to our closing remarks then. First, we definitely wanted to thank everyone who showed up tonight and did provide comments. And in many cases traveled to be here. Thank you very much. As stated at the beginning of the hearing, these comments will be transcribed and will be part of the official record that the State Board of Elections will consider as they move forward with the rulemaking process and consider these proposed rules and whether any further changes will be made, along with any written comments that have been sent in by June 30th. And again, we do have comment cards. If there are any additional comments, persons can definitely provide those, and we will include those as well. Or you can send an email to the email address above or mail that to us. As a final note, I did want to note we certainly heard from a lot of folks who had a lot of passionate things to say about the issue, and we've also heard from some folks who do work as election officials. I encourage folks who do consider this to be very important to consider talking to your local county board of elections. We're always looking for people who can provide a good objective help serving as an election official either at a election day precinct polling place or at a one-stop site. So please do talk to your local county elections office if you are interested in that. That being said, it is approximately 6:15. We'll take things off the record now, but we will certainly be available to talk to folks if you have any questions. Otherwise, please do have a good night and travel safely home. Thank you.
Tonight you've heard the public hearing recorded on Monday, June 15th in Tarboro, North Carolina. These hearings were coordinated by the North Carolina Board of Elections across the state to receive public input regarding the rules they will have to implement as directed by the Voter Information Verification Act, or VIVA. The deadline to submit written input is tomorrow, so we encourage you to send your emailed statements to rules@ncsbe.gov. That's rules@NC as in North Carolina, SBE as in State Board Elections, .gov. That's rules@ncsbe.gov. We appreciate you tuning in this evening, and we hope you have a great night. Thanks for listening.